You're listening to Good Food on KCRW. I'm Evan Kleiman. As I was cooking 15 pounds of beans the other day, I was thinking about how they are also seeds and how seeds are factories of life and encyclopedias of culture. They're also genius geographic and climate adapters, nestling up to particular stories of identity and belonging. Adam Alexander calls himself the seed detective, and his new book tells tales of globalization, political intrigue, and serendipity. Hi, Adam.
Hi there, Evan. How are you doing?
I'm good. We're so happy to have you here on Good Food. Could you tell us about the initial seed encounter you had in Donetsk that pushed you onto this journey?
Yes, I of course I can. I'm a filmmaker by profession, that both making movies or had made movies and documentaries. And back in the late 80s, I found myself in, of all places, Donetsk in Ukraine. And when I was there, it was, the dying years of the Soviet Union, and Donetsk was a crumbling steel and coal town. But it was an interesting place because it was founded actually by a Welsh steel magnate called John Hughes and named after him, Yuzovka, at the time of the Tsar at the end of the 19th century. And the story of the town is really the story of the Soviet Union. And while we were there, we were staying in a sort of Communist Party hotel. And I think they didn't really like the fact that there were foreigners in the hotel. And the kitchen staff refused to cook for us, look after us. And I wasn't having any of this. So I went off to the local market. And there I met somebody who I call her everyone's ideal granny, a babushka character, a sort of diminutive elderly lady who was growing vegetables in her backyard to help to make ends meet. And amongst the things that she had on a table in the market, which I thought nothing of at the time, were some bell peppers, sort of round the size of a tennis ball with four lobes. And I bought a few and took them back to the kitchen. And the pepper in Ukraine and actually in Eastern Europe is a really important part of their food culture. So it was not surprising to see it in the market. But when I cut it open and bit into the flesh, it was a sort of wow moment, because this pepper was not only sweet, but it had this wonderful fruity heat to it. And the next day I went back and I found her and I bought some more. And this time I thought, I wonder what happens if I take out the seeds and take them home and see if I can grow them back at home. And obviously I've been gardening all my life, and it was a new idea to take something back with me from a journey, which was both a memory, but also a link to a culture that I had discovered. And of course, that pepper grew very happily in my garden, and I've been growing it ever since. In your introduction, you mentioned about, you know, the genius of plants in terms of their adaptability, and it's a great testament to the diversity, the genetic diversity of these traditional heritage and heirloom varieties, that, you know, I can take that pepper from the black soil of Ukraine back to the somewhat damper and cooler summers of East Wales, and the pepper is incredibly happy.
At this point in time, how many different seeds do you have squirreled away?
I keep about 500 varieties of vegetables altogether in a couple of refrigerators in my garage. And they're a mixture of seeds that people have just given me and sent me from all over the world. And then there are probably about half of the seeds that I have in my collection are ones that I've found on my travels.
You document seeds that came from the East and those that came from the West. I would love to start with the East. Tell us about your search for Welsh leeks, and first begin with what the culinary importance of the leek is in Wales or the UK at large.
Yeah, this is a vegetable that has been appropriated by various civilizations. It was considered by Nero, the Roman emperor, to improve his oratory skills. So he used to eat leeks in vast quantities. And the public called him leek breath, porous breath, because which was a form... An insult. You know, the Romans invaded Britain and introduced the domesticated leek to Britain. Not that it was a particularly sophisticated vegetable at that time. And so this idea of its qualities in helping you to speak lived on with the patron saint of Wales, St. David, who was this heroic figure who fought off the Saxon invaders. And of course, what did he do? He ate large quantities of leeks because it helped him sing. So the leek has been seen as emblematic, if you like, of Welshness, ably told by the great bard himself, Shakespeare, in Henry IV. And there is this much joking about the Welsh wearing leeks in their caps when they fought the Battle of Crecy, and on and on and on. And right up until the start of the 20th century, the Welsh were beating themselves up about what should be the national emblem of Wales. And there are these hilarious arguments by the great and good that should it be the daffodil, this noble flower, or should it be some stinking herb, namely the leek? Actually, the leek won out initially, but now both the leek and the daffodil seem to have equal status. So there's this kind of powerful sense of identity in Wales towards the leek. But actually, there is no such thing as a Welsh leek. Up until the sort of early 1940s, there was a variety of leek being sold commercially called the Welsh leek. It stopped being grown commercially after World War II. And the truth is, the one part of the United Kingdom which is absolutely synonymous with leek breeding and is probably the most important place for developing varieties of leeks over the last 150 years, is Scotland.
Okay, so now from the West, from our part of the world, the Americas, chilies. So going back to that red pepper that you ended up finding in Donetsk, when did they find their way to Britain, and how long did it take palates used to mild foods embrace the hotter varieties?
Well, the journey of the chili from where it was, and I say this in inverted commas, discovered by Christopher Columbus, who sailed the ocean blue in 1492 and stumbled upon what he thought was India, but it was in fact the West Indies, and there came across actually two types of chili, one which was the sort of cayenne type, and the other which was the much smaller one, which is associated with Tabasco sauce, two different actually species of chili. And it was one of the amazing stories of globalization, I think, is the journey of those vegetables from the New World to the Old World. And it happened at lightning speed. The Portuguese basically got the chili into India early in the 16th century, within 10 or 12 years of Columbus bringing the first chilies back to Europe that the Spanish seemed to have absolutely no interest in, other than as a means to make some money. It then, this incredible vegetable essentially took over the world's cuisine. And when you talk about how did it really work in Britain, it's quite interesting that there's a story in the book about a vegetable that I think absolutely encapsulates what globalization was really all about 500 years ago, but has actually been with us ever since we started carrying seeds around in our pockets. There was a particular pea that was bred in France in the 19th century. It was a very important pea because it was also one that Mendel experimented with when he was doing his work on genetics, called Jeune de Madras. And it was presumed to have come from India. This was a marketing ploy. And why was it called Jeune de Madras? Because it was yellow. And what was the great dish of the time? This is in the sort of 1880s in London. What was everybody going crazy about? Madras curry. But I tell you something, Madras curry was an entirely English invention. It had nothing to do with India. But of course, it had as a vital ingredient the chili pepper.
Thank you so much, Adam.
Well, thank you for letting me hold forth.
That's Adam Alexander. Since the late 1980s, he's been on a quest to seek out the unusual, rare, and endangered. His book is The Seed Detective, Uncovering the Secret Histories of Remarkable Vegetables. Need a new hot sauce in your pantry or a dozen fresh eggs? Prosperity Market is popping up today at the California African American Museum. We'll tell you all the reasons to check it out next.